I would like to begin by joining with Ralph and welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us tonight and not a member of this local church, welcome. We're thankful, truly thankful, that you've taken time out of your busy day to be with us. We're confident that if you've come looking for the truth, you've come to the right place. Not because we're great people, we're not, but because we do our very best to follow God's standard, not adding to it and not taking from it. We believe that every word of the Bible is true and cannot be wrong. It is the perfect standard by which we shall be judged in the last day. If you have any questions about the things you hear or see tonight, please ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight we'll be looking at verses 10 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. The Apostle Paul penned the Ephesian letter during his first Roman imprisonment. Ephesians is one of the so-called prison letters, along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Though Paul was staying in a rented residence, he was chained to a Roman soldier each day. And no doubt, as Paul sat there next to this soldier, the Holy Spirit influenced him to make an analogy. As Christians, we need to be armed with spiritual armor. Notice what Paul wrote. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Hopefully this is a familiar passage to most of us. Paul was telling Christians to put on the whole armor of God. Tonight I want to look at this passage in four ways. We might call it the four O's of Ephesians 6. Our occupation, our opponent, our objective, and our orders. The four O's of Ephesians 6. Let's begin with number one, occupation. Though we're not called soldiers in this passage, it's obvious that we're to arm ourselves as soldiers. Three times in the New Testament, Paul refers to Christians as soldiers. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, he referred to Epaphroditus as a soldier. In Philemon, verse 2, he referred to Archippus as a soldier. And in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul used this analogy of a soldier in writing to Timothy. This is Paul's metaphor, not mine. Spiritually speaking, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. In a very real sense, when you came up out of the waters of baptism, you enlisted in the Lord's army. He is our commander in chief. The devil is our opponent. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So don't misunderstand me. We're not in a physical warfare. We're not to be like the extreme Muslims and go around blowing people up. Our warfare is not a physical, fleshly warfare, but it is a warfare nonetheless. We are in a spiritual battle. Paul identified our enemies. Did you notice? He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, notice, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I believe all of these terms are synonymous. You may be able to break them up here and there a little bit, but Paul's overall point is this. We're fighting against spiritual forces. We're fighting against the devil and his army. And we need to prepare ourselves for the fight. We have been called by the gospel. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. I think too many Christians nowadays are passive. They have no backbone. They are too afraid to defend the truth. I may have told you before my debate last October, I received an email on the very day of the debate from a so-called brother in Indiana. And he was disgusted with the entire idea of a debate. He said, instead of debating our differences, we ought to unite on the things we agree with. He even referred to my opponent as a brother in Christ. What? A brother in Christ, this man has never obeyed the gospel. He is offended by the plan of salvation. He's an ardent Calvinist. And yet here is a so-called brother in Christ, a man who identified himself as a member of the Church of Christ, criticizing me for debating. He said we should focus on the things we agree on, not our differences. I'm afraid that's a growing mentality. People don't want aggressive preaching. They don't want dissension and debate when it comes to standing up for God's word. Brethren, let me tell you something. The church was its strongest when the members were strong. We used to be known as a Bible-toting, scripture-quoting bunch of people. Even those who didn't like us admitted they know their book. You better watch them. They know their book. But nowadays, we don't even have the courage to speak up in a private conversation. What do these passages mean to you? 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of the faith. Jude 3, contend for the faith. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we destroy arguments. What do those passages mean to you? Brethren, we are soldiers. And as soldiers, we are to fight this fight. We are to wage war against the enemy. And it's high time we arm ourselves to do so. The second O is opponent. Who is our opponent? Well, our chief opponent is the devil. Notice he said that you may stand against the schemes of the devil. He said that you may be able to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Two times Paul identifies our opponent. Our opponent is the devil, that is Satan. He is the evil one. Do you remember when Jesus gave the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6? He said, and deliver us from evil. What many people fail to realize is the definite article appears before evil. In the Greek text, Jesus literally said, deliver us from the evil. And scholars agree he's referring to the evil one, the devil. Well, why would we be told to pray for deliverance from the evil one if he wasn't attacking us? Isn't it implied that he is attacking us? That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking someone to devour. The devil is our enemy. And we must recognize him as our enemy. The devil first appears in Scripture in Genesis 3. He commandeered a literal serpent and tempted Eve in the garden. Throughout the Old Testament, Satan reared his ugly head. He attacked Job, he enticed David, etc. As we move to the New Testament, he reared his ugly head even more. Who was it that tempted Jesus following his baptism? It was the devil. Who was it that hindered Paul from returning to Philippi according to 1 Thessalonians 2? It was the devil. Who entered the heart of Judas Iscariot? Jesus said, it's the devil. The devil is the chief or the ringleader. He has spiritual forces at work. He also has men who do his bidding. False teachers. Divisive brethren. Unjust civil governments. We could go down the list, couldn't we? But brethren, it's vital that we know our occupation and we know our opponent. Number three, our objective. What is our objective according to this passage? Our objective is to stand. Notice he said that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He said again that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, the apostle said. That is our objective, to stand. This idea is one of holding your ground, being unmovable, undeterred. The devil is going to try to push us back. We have to be willing to withstand him with every ounce of our being. In a war, think about hand-to-hand combat. I think about the Civil War and some of the documentaries I've seen, where literally the Yankees and the Confederates would just run at each other. They would shoot at one another. You're either progressing or you're being pushed back, aren't you? In this spiritual warfare, the same is true. We're either making advancements or he is making advancements. We're either moving ahead or we're falling back. And brethren, that depends on us. Now we have to give the devil his due. The devil is crafty. He's cunning. In fact, do you notice this word here, schemes? Paul said that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The Greek word for schemes is methodia. Methodia. Does that sound eerily familiar? Maybe like an English word? Methodia. You heard of the word method? It's from methodia that we get our English word method. Paul is saying that we're not to be unwise, but we're to stand against the methods. The idea is the evil, cunning deceptions, the evil methods of the devil. Give the devil his due. He's crafty. We've talked about Adam and Eve and how strategic that attack was on Adam and Eve. Do you realize, first, that Satan went to the woman and not the man? Is that significant? Well, a literal reading of Genesis chapters 2 and 3 reveals that God gave Adam the verbal command, do not eat of this tree, before he made woman. Therefore, it is quite possible that Eve heard the command, but heard it through Adam, rather than directly from God. Maybe that's a reason why Satan attacked the woman and not the man. Secondly, the devil attacked with the tree in plain sight. You ever notice that about Genesis 3? The devil didn't attack Eve when she was off in the corner of the garden. No, he attacked when she could clearly see and touch the fruit. The devil is crafty. And we better give the devil his due. You know something else he did in the garden? He emphasized
the negatives rather than the positives.
Eve, has God said you can't eat of any tree in the whole garden? He was emphasizing the negative. The fact is, God said you can eat of every tree but this one. Whereas God had been very gracious, very generous, very liberal in what man and woman could do.
Satan inflated the one negative. You can't eat of any tree in the garden. Brethren, we've got to know that the devil is real and that we must withstand him. That's the objective. We're not to give him any ground whatsoever. We're to stand against the devil. That's an order from our commander-in-chief. And number four, our orders. What are our orders as soldiers according to this passage? Our orders are to put on the whole armor of God. He said it not once but twice. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And then he revealed what that armor is. Spiritually speaking, he said we need to put on the belt of truth. You see, a Roman soldier often had a tunic that was kind of loose-fitting. Well, if he were to go into hand-to-hand combat with a loose tunic, he's probably going to be at a disadvantage. That's why he would girt up that tunic. He would clutch it or fasten it. He'd be more maneuverable with that fastened. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covered the torso. It protected the vital organs, such as the heart and lungs. He says that as shoes for your feet, you're to put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Not only did these shoes or sandals protect the feet from wear and tear, can you imagine if you were climbing maybe a rugged mountain to fight your enemy and a rock cuts your foot? You might as well wave the white flag, right? How are you going to fight on one foot? Those sandals protected your feet from wear and tear. They also had small pieces of metal, like a cleat might have, that gave you added traction. Spiritually speaking, Paul said, make sure you're wearing your sandals. He said, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. This shield was a body shield. It literally was designed to protect you from head to feet. It was a body shield. He says you're to take the helmet of salvation. The helmet obviously protects our head. If you get hit in the head, you may become disoriented, confused, or even killed. And he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is an offensive weapon. We're not to be backtracking. We're to be fighting with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, pressing ahead. That sword is not merely for defensive action. It is intended for offensive action. And by the way, did you notice one part of the body that's not covered according to Ephesians 6? Your backside. There are no provisions made for your backside. Why? Because you're never to turn and run. Hence, stand firm. This is our armor. And spiritually speaking, we're to arm ourselves for the battle. Let me tell you something else about this armor. Did you notice how this armor, every single part of the armor, is entwined with our knowledge of Scripture? In other words, you can't fully arm yourselves without sufficient knowledge of Scripture. Aaron, what are you talking about? Well, notice he said there, the belt of truth. There's the written word. He says the breastplate of righteousness. Hebrews 5:13 says your word is righteousness. Shoes of the gospel. Again, the gospel of peace is the written word. The shield of faith.
Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing the word of God. The helmet of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 says the written word makes one wise to salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which Paul defines as the word of God. Do you see how each and every part of the armor, all six pieces, are intimately entwined to Scripture and our knowledge of Scripture? Why should I come to Bible class on Wednesday night? Why should I go to Bible class on Sunday morning? I'll get there in time for worship. Why should I listen to Bible talk each day? Why should I study my Bible each night? To arm yourself. If someone said, Aaron, what do you think the biggest problem is plaguing churches of Christ today? I could name it in a second. Ignorance. Ignorance. We are ignorant. I hope that's not true here at South End. We go to great strides to make sure it's not, but let's just be frank. Many Christians today are ignorant. They cannot defend even the simplest of issues. Why do I have to be baptized? Well, because you know, you just got to do it. Yeah, but why? Well, you know, I don't know where it's at, but it's in there somewhere. You got to be baptized. My preacher talks about it every Sunday. You got to be baptized. Show me. Well, you know, I'll get back with you, but I know it's in there. What? What kind of defense is that? And we're talking about something as basic as baptism? Why can't I use instruments in worship? Well, you know, I just know it's wrong. Why is it wrong? I don't know, but it's wrong. I'm telling you, I know it's wrong. What? How are you going to win anybody to Christ? Ignorance. I submit to you, we cannot be fully armed and be ignorant. In order to be fully armed, we must have sufficient knowledge of Scripture. So take heed to the four O's of this passage. Occupation, we are soldiers. Opponent, the devil himself. Objective, we are to stand firm, never waver. And orders, we are to put on the whole armor of God. In closing, I have a diagram. This is roughly what a Roman soldier looked like when he was fully armed. Would you want to go up against that? Me neither. Spiritually speaking, we should be armed the same way. You can't fight the good fight unless you're in the fight. You can't be a soldier for Christ unless you enlist. We never conclude a service without giving you that opportunity. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel, why not come tonight believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and He is. But understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. It is an active, working faith. The Lord Himself said you must repent of your sins, you must confess your faith, and you must be immersed in water for or unto or so that your sins may be forgiven. Then and only then will you rise up out of the watery grave, born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ. At that very moment, the Lord will place you in His army. Join us in this fight. The Lord and His people will be victorious. Don't be found fighting for the devil. Join us on this side. Maybe you're saying, well, Aaron, you know, I'm not really ready to commit to the Lord, but that doesn't mean I'm in the devil's camp either. Really? Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Jesus said, if you don't gather, you scatter abroad. There ain't no third camp. You're either in the Lord's army, or like it or not, you're in the devil's camp. I'm telling you, the devil's camp is going to be destroyed. The devil is going to lose. Jesus Christ and His people are going to be victorious.
It's time that you submit to the Lord in humble obedience and join His camp before it's eternally too late. If you've never obeyed the gospel, or maybe you have but you've fallen away, gone back into the world, living in sin, there's no better time than this time. Make your life right with God as together we stand and sing.